Here we go. April 14th, the day of the biggest blizzard of the year. And this morning we are going to do one of my typical things, and we're going to bash, I guess you would call it. You read the paper, you listen to the news. If you do it, take your time up to do something like that. You see, more and more Christianity, the word Christianity or Christians or whatever, are just getting some horribly bad press. I keep seeing that stuff. I mean, here we got the Pope doing what he's doing. All of a sudden, the Catholic Church's man of holiness resigns, and they vote in another man, and then they declare him to be holy and inerrant. And he starts changing things in the church as if, why couldn't God get the other guy to do it? I mean, stuff, people see stuff like that, you know. And people do what they do out there. Christians, I see somebody talking. Let me see what it is here. Oh. Yeah, she has such a hard time staying with it with that internet speed. You can do the dots and stuff there, Mark. Okay, let's get back down. I'll pay attention to that. Okay, so this morning, the last couple of days I've been thinking, this is really irritating, because Christians, if you're a Christian, whatever, you know, define it any way you want, the term Christian is just getting bashed all over. The world, the people out there, and I'm talking with family and different people that are mad at God or don't like God or wonder where God's at and all this kind of stuff, it's just such bad press, whether it be public press or private opinion or whatever it is, you know. People just really looking down on this whole thing. Now, some of it is actually the world is wise to the falseness of today's Christianity. We'll talk about that this morning. But they're not wise to religion yet, because they respect everybody else's religion. They respect the Islamic religion so much that they can come over here and they can kill us and we still have to respect them. I saw in the paper this morning or yesterday somewhere that some Americans who were wearing hoodies had to take them off in order to go through the airline inspection, but the Islamic ladies don't have to take off their burqas or buckas or whatever they've got. They don't have to do that because it's against their religion. So they seem to respect everybody else's religion, but they sure have lost a lot of respect for Christianity. I just remember reading where in the 1800s and that stuff in America, that Christians were highly respected, and if you just signed up for a job and put down the fact that you're a Christian, that's what they wanted. You understood how to be a good worker and in fact, in order to understand the scriptures about being a worker, you've got to understand and read and follow Timothy. That's one of the things Timothy talks about. Timothy, or Paul has Timothy talk about in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. And if they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren. So, and it goes on, that's not today's sermon, but there was a time when Christianity was highly respected. I still got to look at this thing because I see this thing popping up. I got to quit doing that. I got to put that down or something. So, there's reasons more and more, and I just thought I'd jot some of these things down and talk about them. So I guess it would be considered a bash, but it's not supposed to be necessarily be a bash. It's supposed to be an exposing, or else it's just my comments. I guess I get a chance to talk about why Christianity is getting such a bad name, because it certainly isn't the truth. The Christianity that people are hearing today certainly has nothing to do with truth. In fact, I do remember when the Catholics never called themselves Christians. They would never call themselves a Christian. And back in the days, I used to do door-to-door stuff. I'm a Catholic. I'm not a Christian. I'm a Catholic. Well, they seem to grab onto that thing now, you know. So let's just spend today or maybe tonight. I can't imagine. I got four pages of handouts here, and they're actually neat enough I could put them online. like I said, I would do for the tumultuous stuff, which I haven't done yet. Maybe I'll have time today and tomorrow with the weather like it is. Probably take both this morning and tonight. Let's look at the bad press that Christianity is getting today. And let's look at some things here. So, here we go. First of all, what we're looking for here is looking here to where to put the blame. I mean, why is Christianity getting such a bad press? Well, obviously, people don't think much of cultic stuff, Scientology, you know, and Seventh-day Adventism and Mormonism. No, they're growing pretty well. They're doing pretty well. But they are still a small percentage, you know. Atheists, who are religion in themselves. I read a bunch of stuff up on the atheists. So there's a lot of things I could talk about that maybe someday they'd be worth a sermon, but let them be their thing, not a big deal. You know, they can believe what they want. But what we're looking at here are the folks that that's giving the press or giving other people the ammunition to really badmouth Christianity. I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, I guess, possibilities here. One is the modern Christian. The modern Christian is giving enough ammo to the people out there to hate God or not to believe in God or to lose faith in God or to just ignore the whole thing. They either follow the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and that's all about blessings and love. Or they go to the tribulation books, Hebrews through Jude, and that's all about threats from God because of your disobedience. So they kind of mix those two things. And as a result, the people out there see the inconsistency of the blessings. Somebody says, well, God blessed me with this, and God blessed me with that. And people see their day-to-day lives, and then they see these other people that are living horribly, or living really good, and they're not being blessed as such. Lose their jobs, lose the money, sickness, health, you know, that kind of stuff. Then you go to the tribulation concept, where God's going to chastise and rebuke and that type of thing, and you see people getting away with murder and doing stuff, and God doesn't seem to stop them, or somebody who's not doing anything seriously wrong, at least on the outside, getting hammered with problems, with life. You're just having a lousy life, and yet you speak of God and going to church, and you speak of God's blessings, you speak of the love of God and all this stuff, and people out there see the inconsistency of the whole thing, and they go, this is just baloney, this is just baloney. Okay, so there's the one crowd, the modern Christian, and we got the Bible preachers today. This is the Bible guys. This isn't your Lutheran and Methodist guys. This is your so-called Bible preachers, you know. These guys have become like popes to their people. And these popes, these Baptistic popes, or these Bible preaching popes, certainly aren't always right. And again, they go back to the blessings of love doctrine, or they go back to the tribulational doctrine. So they come across as liars. Or the people love their pastor to the point where they'll do anything he says, and so these pastors actually take away the scriptural authority. Bible is not important anymore. It doesn't matter what the Bible says. I tried to get a kid the other day, I tried to get them to admit finally, go back and back and back, why do they believe what they believe about, I forgot what we were talking about. So where did you get that? Where did you learn that? I was trying to get them to come down to the scriptures themselves because they were saying, well, it's just how you feel. The other one was saying, well, it's just led by the Holy Spirit. Well, how do you know that it's the Holy Spirit that's leading? How do you know what he's telling you is the truth? Da 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 da, and I just barely got them to well that I have to be in the Bible, but then man's written the Bible, and then the bell rang and da da they disappeared. Uh-oh, we're having lights blinking here. Wonder if we're going to lose our power in school today. So that may happen. I may just run out of power here. If that's the case, I will just stop. Obviously. Okay, so we got this pastoral authority stuff. We've got this so many Bibles. That people know the preachers are fault for this thing. They don't use one Bible, at least whatever Bible they can have. Not only do they do that, they actually attack the King James Bible. Well, you know, the archaic and the silly King James Bible, which was written by man and really a mess in 1611. And then, you know. So people see these pastors becoming like little popes to them, and they see what they do, and they suddenly have to leave, or they suddenly choose to leave, or they do something wrong publicly, you know, and people see that. And they see the world people see that, and these Christians still follow this guy, you know, almost to no matter what. Then when they become a big guy up in the country, in the national thing, one of them, you know, I forgot, Rick Warren's son commits suicide, and Joel Osteen's got a big scan going around, people talking about him, you know, and then it's just a mess. Well, not only do the Bible preachers and the modern Christians are to blame for this bad press that's going out there, even the King James guys. Even the King James preachers, I mean, they go to the Greek, if they're King James, sort of, they go to the Greek, you know, they correct the Bible, which puts them back in the Bible Pope's, the preacher Pope department, or they're just teaching what they were taught by their famous guru, and I could say I've been there, done that, until I finally started reading my Bible myself and started to wise up to this Baptistic stuff, which is as dangerous, if not more so, than Catholic. It's amazing when I studied the Baptist doctrines from the college. So these guys are putting out bad teachings, wrong, rightly dividing. They're going by verses instead of by Paul's books. You know. Then you get the Paul people that are out there preaching everything about grace and God's love and this kind of thing, and they skip the walk. Timothy and Titus especially, they skip all that stuff. So anyway, people see these things. They see the hypocrisy. They see the silliness of it. They see the inconsistencies of what these guys are talking about and doing. Then you got the parents. You got the tough parents that beat their kids, and they claim scriptures. You know, spare the rod, spoil the child. There's one in Psalms called something about the blueness of the wound. So they don't care that their kids get bruises, you know, and that can black and blue, that kind of stuff. You got these parents that are passing on their religion to their kids. And I'm not for one. I don't think that kids should be just left alone to do what they want. I think a parent ought to have I give them credit, at least they're passing on what they believe to be true. You know, I give them credit for that. But it's too bad they're still teaching the false stuff. You've got parents that are making their kids so angry or so fake that all they do is they just turn their kids away from God. These kids, and I understand what I'm talking about here, these kids don't see your answers to prayer that you claim. The kids don't see God doing anything about the praying that you're concerned about. They see that dad got fired. They see that dad was treated poorly. They see that mom's just being a witch. They see all this kind of stuff, and they've prayed, and they've done their bit. They've memorized and obeyed their scriptures when they're little because they don't want to get beat, you know. But when they're old enough, boom, they're gone. They're not interested. And I understand that. I totally understand that. I mean, that happens even with us to a point, you know. We'll say that till later. Then finish it off, you got the Sunday school teachers who try to help what I call the B kids. B meaning the second service kids. They take the buses out and they pick up all these kids in the ghettos and all the different parts of the community. They go to reservations, all this kind of stuff. And they give these kids tons of freebies and foods and this kind of a thing. And when the kids are done, they're done. I mean, they could care less, you know. And they trade those B kids for what I call the A kids. They're in the A service. They're in the A programs. And so many times when I was doing as the Awana leader of the year, I was noticing that we were bowing down. I think they call that kowtowing, whatever it is. Bowing down to these bad kids. Well, we got them in church. It's good to see them here in Awana. In the meantime, what we would call our good kids are being poorly influenced by these B kids. So I figured we probably traded three good kids for one bad kid. And we never did win the bad kid anyway. So this is why Christianity is getting such a bad name. Modern Christians and their hypocritical thinking and inconsistencies. Bible preachers, well, but they're preaching, and even the King James guys are a bunch of doofuses. And parents, what do they know? You know, and Sunday school teachers, they're just part of the mess. And I'll even use a gospel verse on this stuff here. Matthew 22, verse 29. Get off of my opinion here. Let's go to Matthew 22, 29. This is what was going on when Jesus was walking around. And he had to be talking about something that people should have known. He says, Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. Now you know Jesus wasn't talking about Paul. He wasn't talking about the words, the teachings that he was going to give to the Gentiles. He was talking to the Jews about what the Old Testament taught. You guys don't know that I'm here. I'm the one. Your prophecies are there. I'm fulfilling every one of them. You guys err because you don't know the scriptures. And then it says, nor the power of God. So the power of God is in the scriptures. You know? Then you go here to, let's go to Mark chapter 12. Let's go to Mark 12. There it is again, Mark 12, verse 27. He is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. Ye therefore do greatly err. Okay, again, this is during the gospel days. But see, God is still living. He's not the God of the dead. It's not like he was the God way back a couple hundred years ago. He was not just the God of the biblical days. He is still the God of us today. He's still alive, and he's still talking to us. Well, how is he talking to us? Because I'm sure not hearing anything. If God loves me, he wouldn't let this happen to me. Well, you know, let me show you something. You know what the problem is? You just don't know the scriptures. Just like it says, ye therefore do greatly err. Where's it at here? Anyway, let's go to Timothy. Let's go to what Paul says about this whole deal here. 1 Timothy. So yeah, people don't know their scriptures. They think they do because they read maybe the first couple of chapters of Mark, popped around in Proverbs and claimed all that woman stuff, and get into 1 John because it's about love. They certainly don't take on Romans, any other Paul's books. They're just too complicated, too difficult. And so they go back to Adam and Eve. You know, it's just that stuff. But if you go to 1 Timothy chapter 6, let's 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, I better get there myself. I have a feeling, wait a minute here, 1 Timothy chapter 6, yeah. I don't think it's verse 1, but I know it's not verse 1. I know it's verse 10, part of it here. Let's get on to verse 10. They've erred from the faith, while some coveted after, that's the love of money, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So see, there's your problem. You don't know the scriptures. You've turned love of money, your job, your life, it's more important to you than the scriptures. Which causes you to err from the faith, because the Bible will tell you and teach you about your faith, how to build it and make it stronger, but it'll definitely teach you about His faith, which gives you the encouragement to stay with it and this type of a thing. So, what is this? 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, I think it is here. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. We'll find it here. No, it's not even that one. Come on now, where's it at here? I don't know. It doesn't matter. We've covered that pretty good anyway. It was supposed to be a verse. I'm fine. I'm just kind of curious. How come I wrote that down? It was so close, and I still messed up with it here. Oh, I know what it is. It's 2 Timothy 2:18. Who concerning the truth have erred. So getting rid of the scriptures is you're getting rid of the power of God. Getting rid of the scriptures, it causes people to love something else, and the money becomes what it is, and you'll err concerning the faith. And it's an amazing. Look at Romans chapter 1. Look at Romans chapter 1, verse 27. Hope that's the right verse here. Romans 1, 27. I mean, when people say it, I got to be careful now, because there is a place where people do get paid back now. Remember, I still believe without a shadow of a doubt that God does not punish the lost. Romans chapter 2 tells us He's storing up their stuff, but they've always got a chance to get their lives fixed as such. And he's not rebuking the Christians because their soul is clean and the works will come out will be judged in the judgment seat of Christ. So this is why people are not seeing God's action as they've been preached. But there is one thing that's taking place today. And I just read that and I thought, this is interesting. Romans chapter 1, verse 27. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, this is homosexuality, same marriages, all this stuff that's going on in America today. People that were against it are now all for it, and we're going to make a law for it. It's just amazing what's going on here. Burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly. Now, look at this. And receiving in themselves that recompense of their error. So, this homosexuality stuff, this gayness, this sodomiteness, this faggotness, whatever people want to call it out there, they can be as hard as they want. But it doesn't matter. See, they are receiving in themselves. They're getting what they have coming because of what they're doing. It's not God doing anything. They are receiving in themselves that recompense of their error. That goes all the way back 26, 25, 24, 23. And then it goes on and describes them in 28, 29, and 30, 31, and 32. Then it goes down into the judgment, how they rejected judgment in chapter 2. None of that's about Christians. A lot of that might be about people who call themselves Christians, but not a true legitimate Christian. What's opened up the conversation about queerness, but I probably should do that one of these days, but for now, we just need to see that they are receiving already. And I wonder if that isn't what all this medical stuff, this GRIDS, this AIDS, this stuff that's taking place, you know. They're receiving in themselves. This is for the queers, the homosexuals. Verse 27. Interesting. Okay. I see that the Pal Talk room is lit up. Go. I'm not going to look at it. So nobody's trying to tell me something here. Let's continue now. So we see who these people are that are bringing this stuff upon the name Christianity. Modern Christians, Bible preachers, King James preachers, parents, Sunday school teachers, etc. They don't know the scriptures. They get rid of the scriptures as a result. So they're erring from the faith. Money has totally become our God. We will give up so much that we know is right to survive, which is understandable. This is the way it's going to be in these tough days. But boy, we better be glad we're not in the tribulation, because we won't be able to give up what's right to get our food and to get our money to pay for the things we buy. They will have to not get the money. They will have to stand on what they believe, and they will have to stand solid, or Christ will rebuke them. God will chasten them. And if he comes when they're still doing their stuff, they'll be ashamed. And if they've taken the mark, which they'll have to do to buy, sell, or trade, then they're just up a creek with no paddle or in any canoe. So we better be thankful that we can give in and give up. But it's not encouraged. Judgment seat of Christ, wood, hay, and stubble, or what is it? Precious jewels, you know. Anyway, let's get back on track here. Let's go to Romans 11:25. Here's what's going on with what people see in these people, what the world sees in these Christians, quote unquote, preachers, pastors, modern Christians, and the whole thing. And I've been dealing with them around here quite a bit here lately. I just let the conversations kind of come up, and then I try, like I said the other day, I try to get these kids to try to pin them back to why do they believe what they believe? I mean, where did they get this from? Well, I was taught that. Okay, well, who taught them that? Well, whoever taught them that got it from their church, from their tool. Who taught them that? Where did they get this from? How do you know about God in the first place? Goes back to a King James Bible. Went for a King James Bible, they wouldn't know about this stuff. You're not getting it from all these modern Bibles, and those that are getting it from these modern Bibles aren't getting the real God. Anyway, Romans 11:25. These people, these pastors, these people, these Christians today are horribly conceited. 11:25. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits. That what? Blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. People are conceited because they don't realize what this is all about. They don't understand the difference between the Jewish and the Gentile. They don't understand the scriptures in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, first eight chapters of Acts. They don't understand Hebrews to Jude. They think it's all about the Gentiles. Read chapter 11. And as a result, he says, they'll be wise in their own conceits. They're tremendously conceited people. I mean, come on. They think that God's blessing them because of their good walk. That's just where they're at. And they think, they feel, God just tells me everything I need to know. This Christian rock concert, well, this is of God. How do you know that? Well, God just tells me that. So they become very conceited. And people see that conceitness. So you mean to tell me the God of this world, who created the world, he's talking to you, he's telling you personally stuff that I don't agree with, other people don't agree with, but he's telling you this? Well, my, who do you think you are? And they walk around, you know, in all their little supposedly Christian dresses and skirts and stuff. Yeah, there was a skirt on a Christian girl. Modesty in Christianity does not exist. I would even say that there are more modest, unsaved, or what, religious people in this world than there are Christians. And I won't even get into that stuff. It was just like, oh, come on, girl, you should know better than that. But your parents haven't taught you, blah, blah, blah. You're just a modern Christian. What do you know? Now, again, Romans 12:16, be of the same mind one toward another, which they're not. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. So, you know, Paul is very serious about these people out there that think they got the Festuses, you know. All these things. They're very conceited people. Now let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 3. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 3. You know, this kind of stuff reminds me of, for example, Jeremiah. I mean, his family was looking to where he could mess up, and they were trying to get him to mess up. And we got the world out there trying to get these Christians to mess up because they know what they're doing is a lie. They know it's not right. You've got Nehemiah. You know, another one of my favorite stories, Nehemiah, the first six chapters. Here's this Nehemiah guy trying to get things right, trying to build up this wall of protection for his people. And here we are as Christians trying to protect ourselves from this world. We know we can't get away from it like they do in the tribulation, but we still have to kind of build, kind of keep a wall around us so people can't get in there and mess us up. And we want to try to stay true to God with what he teaches and everything. And everybody in the world, including his own family, did everything they could to mess with Nehemiah. Now, if anybody out there has not heard my series on Nehemiah, I can do a quick one. Just let me know. Most of those that heard it, you know I like to talk about Nehemiah. Because I think there are six things, there are things that they did to Nehemiah that people will do to you because you're trying to stick with the truth. Nehemiah was trying to do the right thing, and the things that the world turned against him are the exact same things that turn against us and challenge us. So if you haven't heard that, let me know. I'll drop that one at the drop of a hat. I love talking about that one. That should tell us what's going on and what to expect from our friends and family out there. So 1 Timothy 3:6. Here's a warning for these pastors, not to be a novice. Talking about going through the first three verses, the office of a bishop, this pastor guy. Not a novice, lest being filled up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Boy, do we have prideful preachers out there. I know the Greek. I studied under such and such. I learned this. I've been to Israel and all the kind of, it's I. Here's why you should listen to me. Listen, the only reason you should listen to me is because I'm just going to show you the King James Bible rightly divided. That's it. I could do like Paul had to do. I could give you a string of experiences that put me in the position I suppose I could be in, I guess. I don't know. I like to look back and see what I've done. I realize, man, was I caught up in religion? I look back and see what I was done. Boy, was I caught up in education. I look back and see what I was done. Boy, what was I caught up in music. And every one of those, I got to where if I went down the other fork of the road, I'd have been caught up in it forever. I could have stayed with the Baptist preacher stuff. I could have stayed with the music performance stuff in the big church and done all the arranging and the instrumentation. I could have done all that, so I had my chance to do that. Education. I could have stayed in the big school I had in Vegas and could have been making lots of money today. But every time I came to that fork in the road, somehow I went on to the other one. And I shouldn't say somehow. It's because I believe the King James Bible to be the Word of God. And the other road was getting away from that. So, go back to that stuff, I guess. But no, those aren't reasons to listen to me at all. All you listen to me is because I'm going to teach you the King James Bible rightly divided. And you don't need me to do that. You can do it yourself. You folks are just jumping in because you don't know what to do on Sunday morning, so you feel guilty because you don't go to church. So you come to this one and listen in and go, well, that was interesting, but he's talked about that before. Nothing new. And then you get out and go and do your thing. And you do what you can do. Anyway, so these are very proud people, proud and conceited people. And the world sees that. Look at 1 John chapter 2 of all places. Let's go to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Well, but this is 1 John. Yeah, but see, we got to remember, this is still a fact. This is the description of the world. It's going to be worse during the tribulation, of course, and the world's really going to be going after them. Well, the world sure seems to be going after Christianity today. Well, what's out there? Well, it's the lust of the flesh. That's what we deal with, is the lust of the flesh. The lust of what we see, the eyes. And the pride of life. The pride of life. We all wrestle with that already. It's always been there. It's just upping itself more and more and more. I mean, pride of life. Can you do without your cell phone? Can you do without your iPods, Q-pads, TVs, videos, what do we have to have in this life? The pride of life. Can you keep buying some new stuff? It's just the pride of life. And are you ashamed because you have to live in a not such a great place anymore? That's the pride of life. Are you ashamed of the job? Are you ashamed that you can't work? I mean, we just got all these things we wrestle with all the time. And like Paul says, he wants to serve the law of God with his mind, but his flesh, it's just worthless. But see, these people that are giving Christianity a bad name, they think that they got their flesh under control. It's amazing. Okay, let's go to Psalm 10. Let's go to Psalm 10. We can do this. Look at Psalm chapter 10, for example, here. Psalm chapter 10, verse 4. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. Well, that's the way it was then. Hey, I'm sorry, but that's the way it still is today. The pride of our countenance, our pride. How do we seek after God today? We seek after God today with the King James Bible rightly divided, looking to Paul. If you read the rest of the Bible, you're reading what God did in the past. You are reading what God will do in the future. So you're still seeking after what God did and what God's going to do. But if you want to seek after what God is doing, Paul's books. So if you're, the pride of your countenance, the pride of your life, will prevent you from seeking after God. Because you know, with Paul, you want to seek after God, you know what he's going to tell you. Because that's where you seek after God in a rightly divided King James Bible. I've said it 1,000,000,000 times. But you know he's going to tell you what you're wearing is wrong. But you also know that he's not going to chastise you for it, but you also know it's going to burn in the judgment seat of Christ, or where you go, or what you do, And we also know, like Paul, we can't stop doing some of these things. We're just not. It'll take the Spirit of God upon the flesh in the tribulation to stop this stuff. So these people think that because of their own goodness, God's going to bless them. Because of their giving, God is going to bless them. They think that because of their prayer life, God is going to bless them. And so, see, the other people out there, they see these things. The children see these things. They see these own things in their own lives, and after a while, they give up. These people think that God blesses them because they confess their sins. These people think that God blesses them because, well, they have such a clean heart now. These people think that God blesses them because they love other people, even the homosexuals, even the lesbians, even the politicians, which is really scraping low, even your neighbor, even, you know, they just love Islam. We just love everybody, you know. And these are peacekeeping people. Physical peace? Sure, we need to not have guns. Come on, but let's just love everybody. Let's just take the guns away from everybody. Let's just have peace. And it goes on and it goes on. And they think God's going to bless them for that. And what happens is in 1 Corinthians 5:2. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 5:2. This is why the world out there thinks Christianity is just bogus. It's because it is. Modern Christianity is bogus. It says here, it's talking about these people. Chapter 1 Corinthians 5:1, it is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. And ye are puffed up, and have not rather mourned that he hath done this deed, but be taken away from you. So, this puffing up thing, they're blind to things today. And they're just walking around puffed up, conceited, and proud, because they are a Christian. And the world out there just knows better. Colossians 2:18. Let no man beguile you of reward and a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, including unto those things which intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. Then you go to Acts 13. Let's break the people out there down to a smaller group. And we go to Acts 13, and we see that it's these honorable and devout women. Devout and honorable. Do it in the right order. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women. Acts 13:50. These people are honorable. Oh, they do the law. They're good people. And they're serious, devout. And they have their own goodness is so good. And they give so much and so well. And they pray so hard. And they confess their sins. Their heart is right. Is your heart right with God? They love everybody, and they do everything they can to keep peace. You know, it doesn't matter what God says. Let's just keep peace amongst ourselves, you know. How are we doing? I forgot to check the time anyway. Well, let's keep going. That's another segment of why Christianity is getting such a bash. Well, we know that Paul's rightly dividing is what's true. It's not because they're making this up, because the Scriptures define that, the Scriptures prove that, the Scriptures show that, and suddenly the Scriptures make total sense. We don't have to privately interpret anything, which, by the way, is only a warning for the tribulation days, because people are going to have to privately interpret stuff, you know, millennium and everything as well. Today we got a very simple Bible. There's nothing confusing about it. There's nothing conflicting about it. There's no contradictions. It just makes sense. If this Bible is the Word of God from the beginning, should we go back to the Geneva? Should we go back to the Matthew's Bible? Or should we just throw out Scriptures totally and go back to what our pastor says, because he was baptized way back to John, the baptizing one? Or should we go to another church because this guy's been to Bible college and say he knows what God's telling them? And if this guy can get your heart right with God, God will tell you the same thing. I'm going to go with the book. I'm just going to go with the King James Bible and stick with that, nothing else. Okay, so speaking of which, let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. See, now here we go. There's nothing new here this morning. But we're looking at this Bible is telling us why Christianity is getting a bad name just before the tribulation. Why would that be? Well, because this a new guy has got to come down from the sky, and he's got to show up with this new Christianity that has come about. So they're trashing this modern Christianity, and they certainly have already trashed Paul. I mean, Festus, they've got Festus Christians out there Man, Paulson, you are nutty in your fruitcake. You're mad. You're nuts. So we've already been through that. So now they got to knock down this other Christianity and this Catholic thing, you know, and the ecumenical stuff, and bring this guy in that's going to have the solution to all these issues. No scriptures, no church as such. He's going to be the one. So we know what's going on. But we go to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 20, and we see the same what he tells Paul, tells Timothy. Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, all the stuff that Paul taught him, avoiding profane and vain babblings. And of course, and oppositions of science, falsely so called. Science is opposite the truth, and they call it science, but it's a false title. Oppositions of science. Evolution. Falsely so-called science, you know. That's how that thing goes. So, we go up to 2 Timothy, obviously 2:16, which we have to go there. Because vain babblings, what is vain babblings? Anything that is not rightly dividing. 16. 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, which we have studied to show ourselves we are approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, okay? It's obvious to me that if it's not rightly dividing the word of truth, it's profane and vain babblings. But now, these profane and vain babblings, these are good speeches. These are good sermons. You know, these are good people. This pastor is such a good man. Yeah, but what he's teaching is profane and vain babblings. And they will increase into more ungodliness. What, are you kidding? They're being a better Christian. They're doing better. Yeah, their hair is right. Their hair is longer. They don't swear, well, in public anyway. All this kind of stuff. That's what they consider to be godliness today, which we know to be different. And their word will eat as doth a canker. So these good guys, these good pastors, these good preachers, these good parents who are teaching this modern Christianity are actually teaching their kids and teaching their congregants and their friends and neighbors profane and vain babblings. And as a result, Christianity is getting worse and worse. And what these people say will eat as doth a canker. And concerning the truth, have erred. There's the verse I was looking for earlier. 2 Timothy 2:18. Why did I not mark that one correctly? They have erred. So this profane and vain babblings. Look at Romans 16:18. And this is what people have a hard time with. This is what makes me an Eeyore and such a grump. Is I don't care if this guy or if this family, this person, is not teaching or believing, rightly dividing, he's wrong. He's ghastly wrong. He's teaching profane and vain. He's babbling. And those words are going to lead to an increase of ungodliness. It's going to go just the opposite. But then they had to change the word, what godliness means, in order to hide that fact. And they're going to err from the faith. I don't care if it's your brother. I don't care if he's the senator's brother. I don't care if he's your fantastic father or your mom or your sister or your brother or your most favorite pastor man in the world, or your whatever. It's wrong. And we're supposed to withdraw. We're supposed to turn away. We're supposed to stay away from these people. These are the people that are giving Christianity a bad name. But Romans 16:18, For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. And by good words and fair speeches, look at this, deceive the hearts of the simple. What's the simple? Well, what do you say today, Pastor? Well, thank you. You know, I'll say, let me check to see who's on here, if anybody's even still here. I will say that back to where I was a pastor, the reason that place is not continuing as it was is because they were listening to me, not their Bible. Some of those were not getting what that Bible says. They did not understand how important the King James was. They did not understand the reality of rightly dividing because they're no longer doing that stuff. They're following good words and fair speeches. If even that. This is what happens to all of us. We will get away from this Paulson guy. We'll get away from this King James Bible rightly dividing. We'll get away from this Timothy stuff. Let's just go back into the doctrine of Paul. That's the mid-Acts crowd. Those are the ones where they still have a good time together. That's the place you go if you want to believe in Paul and still wear tight jeans, loose jeans, whatever. You're still showing the form. You can wear what you want. Ladies, you can run the ship. Men, you can do what you want. Music can be what you want it to be. You're getting away. And you're going to fall for these people that have good words and fair speeches, even if it's about Paul. So, here we go. These people, they preach, falsely of course, they preach the wrong gospel. Romans 2:16. Here we go. Probably finish it up here. Romans 2:16. I won't finish it. That's only page, half of page 2. Romans 2:16. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. That's what Paul teaches. We will be judged by Paul's writings. Those are his do's and don'ts. I mean, really, Paul's got a list of them, Timothy and Titus. It's just that God isn't going to rebuke us for not doing them. God isn't going to burn us or beat us for not doing them. It's just that if you want to do them, you get rewards of judgment seat of Christ. If you don't, what do you care? What do you care that it blows your testimony towards the truth? Then don't wonder why everybody else out there doesn't want Christianity. They certainly don't want what you have because even you don't do it. But we have to realize that these people don't understand what Paul's teaching here. You can dress immodestly. You can go to the wrong places. You can get into this stuff publicly. You can blow your testimony publicly. But see, they don't understand that you haven't lost your salvation. They don't understand that those works that you're doing are going to be judged at the judgment seat of Christ. They don't understand that you're still okay in God's eyes. They don't get it. So when you go to tell them that, because of all this other junk that's going around out there, people just go, you know, you Christians, just all a bunch of, you have no idea what you're talking about. That's because the authority of a single Bible has been taken away from them. I don't think it does any good now to probably even sit down with somebody in their Bible and show them, well, here's what the Bible says. Yeah, but my Bible doesn't say that. Well, how do you know your Bible is the Word of God? Then you get into that stuff. Then you get into history. It's like, but your Bible doesn't promise to preserve the Word of God, His words. Oh, but this one does. Well, why do I want yours? Hey, Romans 11:22 cannot be far around the corner. People are not interested in the Bible. They're not interested in the truth. But they are interested in Christianity because it sure sounds good. Oh, you have a good life. You know, you got to give a couple bucks here and there. You can pray. You can confess your sins. Oh, your heart and the love of everybody. It's such a good feeling. Then they find out that it doesn't work. They lose their kids, they lose themselves, they hate God, and away we go. These people preach the wrong gospel. Look at 1 Corinthians 4:17. 1 Corinthians 4:17. For this cause, what cause is that? To follow Paul. To help follow Paul, I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord. He shall bring you into remembrance of my ways. So nobody preaches Paul's ways. They preach Jesus' ways. Well, yes, we know that Jesus taught the way of God, but Paul teaches the way of God more perfectly. Not better, not corrector, just there's more to it now. Now he's off to the Gentiles with what he could have given to the Jews had they done it. See, that's all that is. And it says, as I teach everywhere in every church. Yeah, I know. Let's look at Hebrews 9. Boy, they sure don't buy into this one, even though they teach Hebrews in these churches. Hebrews 9. For where a testament is, there must also of a necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is no strength at all while the testator liveth. So why, this is in 16 and 17, why are they teaching Jesus' testament, Jesus' teachings, to the Jews when he hadn't died yet? That was the gospel then. Jesus has died. The teachings after Jesus died
are what Paul's taught.
What about the teachings in the first part of Acts? Well, read the first 8 chapters of Acts. He still went back to the Jews and tried to show them the new stuff through Peter. Remember the dream that Peter had, the sheet? Christ is changing things already, and they wouldn't believe it. So Christ went on to Paul and to the Gentiles, gave them the whole shebang. So I think we're going to stop there because I got 7 more points on what they preach falsely. We'll pick it up again tonight if you want to come back. We'd love to have you. That's part 1. And we'll just look into who's given Christianity all this bad publicity and this bad press. That will be tonight.